This is a Series 7 study guide, audio lessons for the FINRA Series 7 exam, second edition, and this is lesson number 11, the first part of our options series. This is the first part of a six-part series on options. The oldest recorded option that I was able to find was discussed in the book Antifragile by Nassim Taleb. And in this book, Nassim Taleb describes an option that the ancient philosopher Thales of Miletus, and Miletus is a town along the Turkish coast just south of Kushadasi, and Kushadasi is a town just south of Ephesus. Now, I've visited both Ephesus and Miletus. And very few people visit Miletus, but Miletus was a very prosperous trading town in ancient Greece, and now, of course, it's part of Turkey. But the oldest recorded option was by a philosopher by the name of Thales. And Thales went out, and before the olive harvest took place, he went out to the olive presses, and he got options on the use of these olive presses. So he didn't have the obligation of using these olive presses, but he paid a small price for the option of using these olive presses. Well, the harvest came in very well, and Thales exercised his option and was able to charge olive growers an exorbitant price for the use of the presses that he had the right to the option in. So that is the first recorded option. It's about 2,500 years ago is the oldest recorded option. And in the book, Antifragile by Nassim Taleb, he talks about optionality a lot. In fact, he thinks it's much smarter to be using optionality in your everyday life. And optionality, by his description, is not just the financial options we're going to be talking about here, but examples of behavior that cost very little but could reap great rewards. And he talks about the option of going to a dinner party or not, or going to a cocktail party or not. The option is it doesn't cost you anything to go to this party, but you might meet somebody that creates opportunity. So the option cost you nothing and the payoff was exorbitant. But that's just an example of what options are. Options are just the choices you have in life. And some options, even though they cost very little, can give you great rewards. Let's talk about financial options that you're going to be tested on in the Series 7 examination. Now, first of all, there's two types of options. There's a call option and a put option. Now, a call option simply gives the holder of that option, the buyer of that option, the right to purchase a specific number of shares of stock, usually 100 shares, at a specific strike price. And when you look at an option table, you will see various strike prices. And the other thing that's involved in an option is the expiration date. The expiration date of the option. So you have to look at the stock, the underlying stock. If you're going to be buying a call option, that means you assume the price of the stock is going to go up beyond the strike price and before the expiration of that option. If the stock does not rise above the strike price by the expiration of that option, that option expires worthless. So, three things: the stock, the strike price, and the expiration date. When you look at a table of options, you will see various strike prices and various expiration dates. And what you will find is the farther out the strike price, the farther from the actual price of the stock, the farther it is away or higher than the current price of the stock, the lower the price of the option. Also, the more time you have on the option, the more expensive the option is as well. You have in-the-money options where the strike price is actually lower than the current price of the stock, and out-of-the-money option where the strike price is above where the current price of the stock is. When you have an in-the-money option, in other words, the strike price is lower than the current price of the stock, then that difference between the strike price and the current price is called the intrinsic value. That's a key concept, the intrinsic value of that option. So let's give an example. Let's say you buy 100 shares of XY, or you buy an option for 100 shares of XYZ stock, and the strike price on that option is $50, and the current market price of that stock is $55. You would have an intrinsic value on that option of $5. And let's say, just for argument's sake, that the price is good for 2 months. In other words, the option does not expire for 2 months from when you bought that option. So now you know you have, at the time you buy the stock, an intrinsic value of $5 on this option, but now you have another 2 months before that option expires to exercise that option and buy the stock at $50 a share. Now, if the stock goes up beyond $55 a share, then the value of your option, the intrinsic value of that option, will go up as well. However, there's the time value of the option, and that's going to be the premium that you pay over the intrinsic value. And the time value of that option is determined by exactly what it says, the time that that option has before it expires. So in this case, the time value of that option is going to be the price that you pay above intrinsic value for the time period you have. So let's say, just for this example, continuing on this example, that you bought XYZ, a call option on XYZ stock, where the strike price is $50, the current market price of the stock is $55, and you paid $10 for this option that expires in 2 months. So if you break down that option, you had a $5 intrinsic value on that option, and now $5 for the time value of that option. Now, if everything remains the same, okay, if the stock does not move for 2 months, then the time value of that option will decline, usually pretty much in a straight line. And just think about that. Every day that ticks by means that option is one day less valuable. So the time value of that option should decline to zero. So all you have left at the time that the option expires is the intrinsic value of that option. And you need to either sell the option for the intrinsic value of that option or exercise the option and buy the stock. So those are the four terms, okay? You have the strike price, you have the intrinsic value, you have the time value, and you have the settlement value. That's a concept that's a lot to get your mind around, but you have to understand that before you move on to the next section. So when you look at a option table, and you can go online and you can find various listings on options, and there's a lot of special symbols that you probably are not going to be required to know. But you need to know when the settlement on an option is. And when you buy an option, you first of all have to have the money in your account to buy the option. Usually you cannot margin this option. In other words, you're going to have same-day settlement on the option. Brokerage firms don't like to extend credit on options because they are so volatile. They move up and down very quickly. So why would you want to buy an option? The main reason is because it provides you leverage. And leverage just means that for any given movement in the underlying price of the stock, as a percentage, the value of that option will move much greater. Okay? So let's talk about this option on XYZ stock. The current market price of the stock is $55 a share. The strike price on the option is $50 a share. So let's say that stock goes to $60. So now you have an intrinsic value of $10 on that option. Now, if you have any time value left, then you also have some time value on that option. However, the time value declines as time goes on. And let's say the stock goes to $65. All right, now you've got an intrinsic value of $15. You invested $10 in this option, and now you have an intrinsic value on this option at $15. So you, and let's assume that the stock on the expiration date of the option is now selling at $65. You've made a percentage return on your investment of 50% from $10 for the cost of the option to $15. So you've made a 50% return. Now, if you own the stock outright, you would have bought the stock at $55, and now it's worth $65. That works out to be a return of 18.18%. So that's the reason people buy options. All right, let's talk about the other side of an option contract. We talked about you as a buyer buying an option and what your potential reward is. But let's talk about the person that writes the option. For an option to be created, somebody has to write the option. Now, an option can be created by writing a naked option. We'll get into that a little later, but let's just talk about the simplest form of option creation. And that is where, let's say, you personally own the stock. You own the stock in XYZ Corporation. And let's say you paid $40 for the stock. And currently the price of the stock is $55. Now, you could sell the stock at $55 and capture that $15 profit. Not a bad deal to do. But let's say you're not in that big of a hurry to sell the stock and you have long-term comfort in the company. You feel the company's long-term prospects are good. You could write an option. In this case, let's say we wrote the option to sell the stock at $50 a share, right? Remember, you paid $40 a share for this stock and now it's worth $55. Now, you could sell at $55, but in the case we're talking about, you might want to go ahead and write the option to sell the stock at $50 a share and collect the premium on that option of $10. So your effective price on selling that option would be greater than you could get for the stock right now. If you sold the stock right now, you get $55 a share. If you sell the option, you're going to sell the right for somebody else to buy your stock at $50 a share, but you're going to get that $5 premium plus the $5 time value of that option. Now, let's say that the stock declines in value back to $50 a share. There's no reason to exercise that option at that point in time. You've lost $5 a share on your investment, but you've also gained $10 from the sale of your option. So you're still ahead by $5. So your price of your stock has declined $5, but you collected a premium for selling your option of $10. So you're $5 ahead of where you would have been had you not written this option. Now let's look at the other side of this. Let's say the stock actually goes up to $65 a share. Well, so in that case, you collected the premium of $10 for the option. The stock has risen from $55 to $65 a share. The intrinsic value of that option now has a value of $15. So you, had you not sold the option, you would be able to sell the stock for now $65, but what you really got in reality was $60. Do you understand that? If you don't understand that, go back and re-listen to this. This is a key concept, and you will be tested on exactly this type of a scenario where you need to look at how the option writer makes money or loses money and how the option buyer makes money or loses money. All right, one other thing we're going to talk about in this section, and that's going to be put options. Put options are the right to sell the stock at a specific price. Not the right to buy the stock at a specific price, but the right to sell a stock at a specific price. The easiest way to think about this is basically shorting the stock market. You're betting the stock market goes down when you buy a put option. And if you actually write a put option, you're hoping that the stock market goes up and not down. Because if the market goes up, then the option expires worthless. So let's take the same example we're talking about before. Let's say XYZ stock is selling at $55 a share. Now, a put option would be the right to sell the stock at a certain price. Now, if we look at the previous example, if we said, okay, the put option is, the strike price on the put option is $50 a share, then that would be an out-of-the-money option. In other words, that option has no value unless the stock drops to $50 a share. So the only value that that option would have would be time value, because there's no intrinsic value on that option. Now let's look on the other side of that. Let's say the put option is written so that you can put the stock back or exercise that option at $60 a share. In that case, there's a $5 intrinsic value in that put option because the stock is selling at $55. You have the right to sell that stock at $60. So there's a $5 intrinsic value in that option. So let's take the full scenario on this one, just like we did before. Let's say that you buy the option to put the stock back to the writer of that option. And that's why it's called a put, because you're putting the stock to the person. You're not buying the stock. You're not calling the stock away from the person. You're putting the stock to the person. And we'll talk about why you might want to use a put option later on. But in the case of a put option, let's say you have the stock is selling at $55 a share right now. You buy a put option that gives you the exercise price of $60 a share. And let's say, again, just like before, you paid $10 for that option and it expires in 2 months. So you have an intrinsic value on that option of $5 per share, the difference between 60 and the current market price of 55. And then you have a time value on that option of $5 a share for the next 2 months. So over time, that time value will decline to zero when that option expires. So let's talk about what happens if the stock goes up. All right, let's say the stock goes up to $60 a share instead of going down. Then the time value and the intrinsic value are both, well, then the intrinsic value on that option is zero. And whatever time is left, whatever the option is selling for at that time would be the time value of that option. All right. Now let's say that the time has run out and the stock sells for $60 on the date of the expiration. Well, that option would expire worthless at that point in time. All right, let's talk about if the stock goes to $65 in a put option. If the stock goes to $65 in the put option, then you, again, just like in the previous example, that option has expired worthless. But if you had actually shorted the stock, you would have lost you would have lost the difference between $55 and $65 a share. So you would have lost $10 a share if you'd actually shorted the stock instead of buying the option. So you would have lost $10 on an option that cost you $10. So in that case, you're basically equal. You really, in this situation, in this example, you would have been equally worse off if you'd actually shorted the stock. Now, if the stock goes to, let's say, $70, well, you're much better having bought the option rather than shorted the stock. All right, let's look at the other side of this. Let's say the stock declines from $55, the current price of the stock, down to $50. And your strike price is $60. At that point in time, if it expires, if the option expires on the same date that the stock drops to $50 a share, the intrinsic value on that option is $10 a share. So you've got your money back on that particular case. Let's say the stock drops to $45. Well, now you've got a difference between 60 and 45. So now you've actually made $15 on an option that cost you $10. I'm going to leave it at that for this podcast because that's a lot to get your mind around. Intrinsic value, strike price, time value, put option, and call option. Now, I'm going to talk about writing puts in the next episode. But for now, I just wanted to get this lesson out. Start down the option trail, and we'll cover more of this later on. Thanks for listening. Please check out the website. See if you want to buy any of the videos. Thank you very much.